So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Another guy that loves Christmas, big, big Christmas guy, joining us now on the guest hotline. Powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. There he is, Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette Packers beat writer. Follow him on X at By Ryan Wood. How are we doing, Ryan Wood?
Man, why you got to lie to the people like that? Why you got to give a false truth?
Just, we're converting you. Yeah, we're converting you little by little.
Years. You know what I do love, Sparky? I love me some food. I love me some beer. I tell you, I feel like you're really rubbing it on thick there because I wasn't able to see you live today. We just got on the road here. My colleague Dominique Yates and I down to Chicago, and I couldn't
see
you. You're rubbing it in thick.
Who's driving?
Oh, I'm driving. I was driving.
Why? He trusts you to drive?
I got three kids. I shuttle them all over the place. I'd feel very weird if I was not behind the wheel. It's just kind of
second. Oh, so it's a control thing.
I wouldn't say that. I'm not some control monster. Yes, it's a control thing.
Yeah, it's a control thing. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, fine. All right, let's talk about Dontayvion Wicks not playing in this game, ruled out with that concussion. I mean, we're seriously in a situation here, even though Adam Senevich said, Matthew Golden's not going to have any type of real role, prominent role in this offense. Don't look now, but he's one injury away to one of those top three guys, Reed, Watson, or Dobbs getting hurt, to having to play a prominent role in this game all of a sudden.
He is. I mean, at the end of the day, you take this trade. They didn't have Christian Watson last year going to Philly. They have Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Dobbs now.
Yep.
They didn't have Christian Watson last year. You'd rather have it like this. And I get Dontayvion Wicks is very talented. I think that he certainly factors into the plans next year. He can go off anytime you least expect, including Thanksgiving in Detroit, where he had six of his catches on seven targets for 94 yards to both his touchdowns this season, that win against the Lions. He's not soft liver, but you take this trade, Sparky.
Yeah, absolutely I would. But it's not where they were last year to where they are now. It's coming off of the last game. He drops two of three balls. Confidence probably isn't all that high. And now potentially to be in a situation to where you might get to go be the guy when everybody had counted you out, I think would be a pretty cool story. I don't want anybody getting hurt. I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt. I'm just saying it could be a cool little side story here that you and I are talking about on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University, tomorrow night, 10 to midnight. Josh Albrecht and myself, Tommy Wirtz, is off tomorrow night for the game between Green Bay and Chicago. When we look at this matchup, the experience that Matt LaFleur has gained the last couple of years with Jordan Love, right? You go down to Dallas, you kick their butt. You go to San Francisco and have every opportunity to win it but can't close. Last year, obviously, did not go the way that you wanted. Now you come into this game and you're banged up across the board, yet I don't feel like Packer fans are willing to give Matt LaFleur the excuse of, well, they're really hurt. That's why they lost. I don't feel like that's going to be a given. What's the one thing Matt LaFleur needs to do in this game to make sure they're in the best position to win?
Call really, really good plays in the red zone. Like, make sure you get the right play in the red zone, because they cannot go 0-for-5 like they did in their last trip to Chicago. Had they gotten 1-for-5 3 weeks ago in Chicago, the onside kick doesn't even matter. They went 0-for. That can't happen. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing. But, Sparky, you hit on the point where this is probably the best game of wild card weekend. I think Bills-Jaguars is going to be really good, but this is Packers-Bears. This is a true coin flip game. What's the real advantage between these two teams, if there is one? To me, the one that's glaring is the experience level. This is Matt LaFleur's ninth playoff game. It's Ben Johnson's first. This is Jordan Love's fourth playoff start. It's Caleb Williams' first. They got Joe Tooney on that Bears roster, and I think that is obviously big. But the Bears have 11 of their 22 starters that's never played in the playoffs before. The Packers only have one starter either side of the ball. That's never been in the playoffs before. He's a right guard, Anthony Belton. That's it. That's a huge advantage. If you go back before the Micah Parsons trade going into this season, the Packers were expected to be a contender in this conference because they still had their youth, but they've gotten their scars now. They've gotten that experience. This needs to be a game where that experience matters. I mean, it couldn't have set up much better from that end, having the much more experience than your opponent this week.
Talk with Ryan Wood, the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packers beat writer. Follow him on X at By Ryan Wood. We talk about this game. Right tackle, obviously, is something to keep an eye on as far as Zach Tom. If he plays, how long will he play? And if he doesn't play, what then becomes the option at right tackle, Ryan Wood? How concerned are you about that position?
More concerned than I was earlier in the week when Matt LaFleur said that he was expecting Zach Tom to play. For him to then go take a step backward yesterday and say, basically, it's a game-time decision, that wasn't great. And I don't know if Matt LaFleur let the cat out of the bag early and then it was some sort of smoke screen. You know how he is. He doesn't want to give any hints. And it was pretty definitive. Like, so, yeah, we expect Zach Tom to be back this week. That's not Matt LaFleur's style. So I don't know what to make out of it, except Zach Tom, by tomorrow, is going to be 4 days shy of a full month since his last game. I know that he set out their Friday practice yesterday, but I would still be a little surprised if he wasn't on the field.
Yeah, well, my thing is, he may be out of the field, but is he really going to play all four quarters? I mean, we've seen this before with these guys that return from injury for the Packers and then have to exit stage left sooner rather than later once they get into the football game. What's the next option?
How's he going to look, too?
I mean, well, that too.
4 days shy of a full month.
Yep.
Are you going to? I get the Bears don't have much pass rush, but are you going to put him back out in the playoffs and not have some chips for him? I also get that he's your best, most consistent, reliable offensive lineman, but a full month? It's going to be very interesting if he doesn't play. How do they bake that into the game plan, and how do they protect him? Because there's going to be some rust there. He hasn't had the physicality of NFL football for a month.
Right. What about the next guy? Is the next guy Jordan Morgan? Is it Kennard? Who is it?
Well, the Packers have shown us that a...
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Will be Jordan Morgan. He started the last two games without Zach Tom. When I asked Adam Sinovich to a much bigger point than this week, what's the plan for Jordan Morgan going forward? They've played musical chairs with him for 2 years now. He's shown you he's not a guard. What's the plan? Adam Sinovich made it very clear. He is a tackle going forward. Going forward, meaning 2026. Maybe this week if Zach Tom doesn't play, they got to figure that out. I know no one wants to talk about development even for a first-round pick in playoff week, but I thought that was a strong answer from Adam Stenovich that the musical chairs going forward are going to be over for Jordan Morgan. He's going to be your left tackle next year.
This offseason, they made a decision to go bigger on the offensive line. I said it was copying Philadelphia, who's run over people. You go out, you sign Banks to big money to come in and play guard as a gigantic guard. You draft another gigantic player and escalate in Belton in the second round to add to it. You look at where they rank in pass pro and run blocking. It's nothing that makes you smile necessarily at the end of the day. Do you think they continue to invest in that style of offensive lineman going forward, or do you think they change course back to how they used to be?
That's a great question. I don't have a firm, solid answer on that because the Packers forever, because they've had franchise quarterbacks forever now.
Right.
It's always been protection first. And that's always been what it is. They made this pivot last year to get beefier, and I think that it's done some good things and some not so good things. I think that they found something with Anthony Belton at right guard. I'm very positive they found something with Sean Ryan at center. I would be very surprised if he's not the 2026 starting center for the Green Bay Packers.
I have a question for you, Ryan Wood. Is Sean Ryan your favorite Packer?
He might be my favorite one to talk to. Yeah, here's the thing, and I know that you don't get a good feel for it talking live on the air for good reason. I like me a good swear word, Smirky. I like me some colorful language. And there is not anyone in that locker room that colorfuls the language more than Sean Ryan. Yes, I very much enjoy talking to Sean Ryan.
Okay, go on. Sorry, I feel like you always are talking about what Sean Ryan said. I was like, man, it kind of feels like this might be his guy in that locker room that he likes talking to the most. So it makes sense now. It makes a lot of sense. All right, go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, he's always good for some you know, entertaining sentences.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. I think that they found something there with Sean Ryan. I think that he and Anthony Belton have really helped bring that ruggedness to the offensive line. Aaron Banks has been better since he started the year injured. He played through injuries the first several weeks. He just hasn't been what his price tag is, and that happens in free agency sometimes. So they're going to have some decisions to make for the offensive line for sure going forward. And there's going to be some changes. Again, Jordan Morgan, left tackle, that seems likely as well. Going into this game, though, you got to do both. You got to. It's all hands on deck because that defense is going to have its hands full with the Bears' offense.
What do you expect this offense to look like from Matt LaFleur going into this game, Ryan Wood? Is this a situation where, okay, we know our defense could get tired out if they get this running game going for Chicago, so in order to rest them, we want to control the clock when we have the ball, so we're going to focus on trying to run this ball with Josh Jacobs? Or is it a situation of, we know we're going to have to score a bunch of points in this game, our defense isn't what it was, so we're going to attack through the air as much as possible?
Well, these two teams are in basically the exact same situation, which is they both want their offenses on the field as much as possible because it means their defense isn't on the field. And they definitely don't want their defense on the field as much as possible. So it was ball control offense for the Packers, and some of that was obviously Malik Willis and what he brought to the offense schematically, and the fact that he uses his legs more in the scheme after Jordan Love went out with the concussion. But I think that would have been the plan anyway, is ball control offense the last time they were there at Soldier Field. I think the Bears are in the same boat, though. I mean, to me, so much of this game comes down to one question. Can Ben Johnson be self-disciplined enough to just line it up over and over again under center, hand it off, and pound this Packers defense on the ground? That if they do, the Bears are going to win this game. If they have 30 cold runs, they're going to win. I have very little confidence that Ben Johnson can do that, because twice now against the Packers, I've seen him get too cute. I mean, that is the same recipe last time they're in Soldier Field. First fourth down of the game, it's fourth and one, 10-yard line. And they have the tight end go under center, and then they snap the ball over the running back's head. There's no need for that. Get the yard. Twice he's not gotten the yard. He's gotten too cute. If they go less than 30 cold runs in this game, I think the Packers win. Like, so much of it is that, but that, again, it goes back to the experience level. It goes back to, this has been Johnson's first playoff game. That's the recipe. Can he do it? Packers offense, they know that. They're going to want to keep their offense on the field. It's going to be ball control. Neither of these defenses have much of a prayer, though. It's hard not seeing this devolve into some sort of a shootout.
First of all, I will say that Ben Johnson may not punt this game. I don't care where they are on the field. He is going to be probably more over-the-top aggressive than we've ever seen Ben Johnson or Dan Campbell in a game. I could all but guarantee you that's how this is going to be. Maybe he'll work on some of them, and maybe it'll backfire on others. But no matter what happens, it's not going to stop his aggressive nature. This Packers defense, we've been talking about this week. I say blitz minimally. I don't care if he has time to read War and Peace in the pocket, Caleb Williams. I just don't want him running right or running left and being able to either run upfield or throw the football. I'd like to keep him there with a spy in the middle and make him beat you with his arm. That would be my approach. What about yours?
Yeah, I think Jeff Hafley certainly had the right game plan 3 weeks ago. They were able to pressure Caleb Williams, but all their pressures were coming from, like, the slot, and, like, they were pressuring to keep him in the pocket, really targeting the bootlegs that hurt him at Lambeau Field, and it worked. It worked up until it didn't at the very end, right? But for 57 minutes of that game, they dominated that Bears offense. I would imagine, given the sample size there, 57 minutes to 3-plus overtime, you're going to see very much the same type of game plan again. they got to keep they got to stop the run, and then they got to keep Caleb Williams in the pocket. They cannot let him gut him with play extensions. Caleb Williams can hurt you. He can beat you with his arm. He showed that on that pass in overtime. But you'd much rather go down that way than the run. I mean, to me, this week, it's all about stopping the run.
Ryan Wood, time for your prediction on the game coming up tomorrow night. You, of course, will join us after the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University, here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network tomorrow night, 10 to midnight. What's your prediction?
Well, you were mighty upset with me last time I was driving down to Chicago, Sparky.
Yep, and you were right.
I think the Bears to win that game. And do you remember, you tried to give me my flowers after that game. You remember,
I
wasn't really much in the mood to receive my flowers, because even though the Bears won, the Packers outplayed the Bears, and they surprised me that night. I did not expect to see that. And this type of a pressure cooker, that was a big game 3 weeks ago, and I don't think the Bears for much of that game handled the pressure well of being at home. If the Packers get off to a third straight hot start against the Bears this season, the pressure of December 20th is nothing like it's going to be a wild card at home. I think the Packers' experience, and I think the fact that they have Jordan Love back, and I think they have an idea of how to attack this Bears offense. I want to take the Packers in this one, but it's going to be close. And if the Bears have 30 called runs in this game, they are going to win. But I'll take the Packers.
He is Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette Packers beat writer. He's on his way down to Soldier Field. I hope you're dressed warm, because I'm seeing like 25, 30 mile an hour wind for that game tomorrow.
Well, it's 37 degrees right now in Green Bay. Feels like 73, but I did remember to bring the coat, because some of the coldest moments of my entire life have been walking into Soldier Field with that lakefront wind in Chicago late in the season. So you never forget the coat when you go to Soldier Field.
Yeah, good idea. Follow him on X by Ryan Wood. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it. Safe drive.
Hey, take care, Sparky.